Welcome to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. My name's Tony Lobel, and today I have with me here Linda Kohler from San Leandro in California. Welcome to the podcast, Linda.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, around this time last year, I know a lot of people were talking about potentially there being a new normal, and some people were fearing it, some people were anticipating it. And then 2021 didn't sort of really take off in either way, I think. We're still in a place where people are wondering what's next. The one thing we know is coming next is the new year, 2022. So should we be expecting a new normal in 2022?
Well, a new year is certainly an opportunity to take stock of where we are and how we can grow going forward. Certainly this concept of normal is something we've all had to wrestle with a little bit. What is normal? Will we ever feel quite normal again? Our sense of normal, I think, has been shaken a little bit and challenged. I think a little bit about what a very wise friend said to me many years ago. He said, Linda, there are things that change and there are things that don't change. And I've really pondered that over the years because I want to get a sense of the things that don't change as a sort of an anchor for my life and for my decisions and for the way I think about things. So with that in mind, I looked up this word normal in the dictionary. And of course, it comes from the word norm. And a norm can have a couple of meanings. It can mean something that's usual, something that's typical that we've grown accustomed to. And sometimes those norms change. Sometimes they change for the better. Sometimes it feels like they slip in a direction that we'd rather they didn't slip. But a norm can also be a standard, an expectation that's required. There's usually some sort of a law, something fixed behind a standard. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, there's a sense of normal that feels like we can kind of get pulled along with it. And there's a sense of something being normal because it's right in a way that doesn't shift. There are truisms. There are things that just don't shift. And that's what we want to kind of hold on to as an anchor to do what's normal.
You know, what is it? What is the unchanging idea?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, material things, material circumstances, human relationships, these things are always evolving or shifting or developing in new ways. But there is a truth. There is a spiritual law that's fixed. One of the words that Mary Baker Eddy in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, uses as a name for God is principle. And the more I've worked with that idea of God being principle, the more I've appreciated what a sense of constancy and stability and fairness there is. I mean, a principle doesn't vary. It's the same for everyone. It's the same all the time. And so if God, the cause and creator of everything that exists, is principle, there's a stability to creation. It doesn't always appear on the surface. We don't always see it through the senses. Sometimes what we see with the senses gives us a different picture. But to understand God spiritually as invisible spirit and principle, the source of all true law, then we have a consistency. Then we have a stability. And I think we want to look for qualities of principle in our life. We want to look for spiritual qualities that are timeless and unchanging, and unselfishness is one of those. So here's an example. We've all become pretty accustomed to using Zoom. My grandson attended kindergarten all last year on Zoom. My granddaughter went to dance classes on Zoom. I've been able to continue attending church and do my work largely because we can have these online meetings. And in fact, last October, I even attended a conference in the United Kingdom via Zoom. So, we've been grateful to have that as an option to be able to continue to work and go to school and do things in a normal way. But recently that's been changing a little bit. Things are opening up and we have options that we didn't have before that let us attend some of these meetings and classes in person. My grandson's in first grade now and he's going to school in person. And there's a particular meeting that I've been participating in on a regular basis, and it had been for a long time that Zoom was the only option, and recently we've been able to have these meetings in person, and I've been going in person. It's felt good to be able to participate more directly in that way. But a few weeks ago, I was having a particularly busy day, and I needed to attend this meeting, and I thought, gee, I have the option. I could just attend on Zoom, and then I wouldn't have to make the trip over there. It would be so much more convenient. And I thought a little bit more about that, and I thought, well, what's my reason? Because when we started having meetings on Zoom, the underlying purpose behind that wasn't convenience. The underlying purpose behind shifting was for the greater good. We were asked to make sacrifices to protect the health and safety of the people around us. We did it as an expression of the golden rule, out of consideration for the well-being of others. So it was an unselfish thing in the beginning. That was sort of the underlying standard behind why we were having meetings on Zoom. And so if that's the underlying standard, is to do the unselfish thing and the thing that would contribute to the greater good, and that's the norm that I want to be following in my life, well, how would that affect my decision on this particular day? And I realize everybody's got to make these decisions on a very individual basis. And so my decision that day isn't necessarily guidance for someone else in the day-to-day decisions they need to make. But for me, for that meeting that day, I realized that I could contribute more to the greater good by being there in person, and that that would be the unselfish thing to do, and that that was the norm that I wanted to follow. And so I did go in person, and I was glad that I did. And, you know, the Bible refers to God as love. Love is unselfish. And so the more we can sort of get our thought in line with spiritual qualities that are based in principle and have their source in principle, love, then we find more of that normal that's a standard. And we understand that it's a standard that we want to stay with. Our sense of the standard may change. Our sense, we may get a better sense of it as we learn more about it. And so The way we follow that principle, you know, may evolve and grow and develop. And that's a good thing. But the standard itself, the law itself, is timeless.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think, you know, one can also learn lessons sometimes when one sort of is listening for that underlying truth that would guide, you know, into the right decisions, whatever that might be. But perhaps you don't heed it and you take the other route, and you just find that rock of stability is always guiding us rightly if we listen for it. And we find that by getting the right ideas and doing the right thing, but we also can learn gentle, tender lessons by doing the wrong thing and realizing that voice was talking to us, that voice of truth was telling us what we needed to do. And that's certainly something with this coming year that we can all listen for, to try and discern what you're talking about, those underlying qualities that we want to bring out consistently within our experience, and then being true to them.
That's a really good point, Tony. And I think that maybe we should talk a little bit about the idea that health is normal, because for the last couple of years, that hasn't been the news that we've been getting. The news that we've been getting is that we should sort of expect, you know, to be exposed to disease every time we turn around. And that's another area in our experience where it feels like that's what we've gotten used to. We've gotten accustomed to the idea that we should be concerned about disease and disease being spread and protecting others from disease. And we certainly want to protect everyone from disease, but is that necessarily the right way to do it? And, you know, maybe the new year is a good time for us to just take a fresh look at what we think of as normal in terms of health. Because when I researched the word normal in Mary Baker Eddy's writings, over and over again, she goes back to what she finds in the Bible to be normal. She goes back to what she finds in her understanding of God as principle and love to be normal. There's this wonderful passage in one of her books, Miscellaneous Writings, 1883 to 1896, where she says, it was the consummate naturalness of truth in the mind of Jesus that made his healing easy and instantaneous. Jesus regarded good as the normal state of man. And I think when she uses the term man there, she means all of us. But Jesus regarded good as the normal state of man and evil as the abnormal. Holiness, life, and health as better representatives of God than sin, disease, and death. And I really like thinking about the fact that health is normal. Health is natural. And anytime thoughts come to us that suggest to us that we should think of the transmission of disease as being normal and to be expected, or feeling symptoms of some illness as, well, you know, of course, because this happened, then I should feel badly. I think we can just go back to that sense that, no, Jesus regarded good as normal. And as a result of that, he healed. Health is normal. Good is normal. It's God's loving will and purpose for us. And we can find and experience and help others to find so much healing by accepting that as just a premise to think about and to live by.
Well, certainly the Bible has some amazing healings that Jesus did to show us exactly what you're saying. Perhaps other people might not interpret those healings in the way we're talking about now, but in Christian Science, that really does resonate, doesn't it? That Jesus wasn't doing something sort of miraculous in the sense of it was against the law of, you know, of life. It was actually proving the true law of life in a way that brought healing. And to some degree, those of us who are familiar with the teachings of Christian Science are endeavoring to prove today that that's still the case. Do you have an example, Linda, from your own experience where you've seen this idea that good is normal proven in the face of the opposite evidence?
Gosh, there are a lot of them over many years. But, you know, the first one that comes to mind is rather a simple healing, but it was sort of a reorienting thought to recognize good as normal. And it's when one of my children was just a baby and still in diapers and had kind of a nasty case of diaper rash. And I was praying for a better sense of that, because I had learned in Christian Science that when you see or experience something that looks and feels like it's a material condition, there's always a thought behind it. And if you can correct that thought with a thought that's more in line with the law of God, more in line with an understanding of the true nature of God, that experience changes. And so I was just praying about, well, how do I pray about this? How can I help this little child? And as I sat quietly and listened, a passage from the Bible came to me. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sort of like what we've been talking about. We're sort of looking at the underlying reality of things rather than just what appears on the surface. So for the next day or maybe 2 days, however long it was, whenever I changed a diaper, I would just stop and think, okay, if I'm seeing spiritually, if I'm seeing the qualities of God as spirit expressed in my child, what am I seeing? What does that look like? Well, I can see innocence. I can see purity. I can see joy. I can see harmony. And I would just start listing, you know, every spiritual quality that I could think of. And I would say, this is what I see. And even when I wasn't changing a diaper, when I would think about it, I would just stop for a minute and think about what it is that I could see through spiritual sense about that child. And appreciating that about him. And I think that thinking of him in terms of these qualities, it just helped shift my sense of what was normal and what I should be expecting there. And you know, within a day and a half, it was completely gone.
Mm.
Not to say that we don't care for the little body, because of course I was a very, you know, attentive and concerned mother. I wanted him to have the very best and took the best care I knew how to of him. But I also felt that above all else, the best thing that I could do for him was to understand him to be God's creation and to think about what that meant and to see that about him.
Yeah, so that's lovely. And as you are thinking about this year coming, you know, 365 days, I don't think it's a leap year, you know, how can we bring these ideas to bear on, you know, just the bigger issues people are facing? I mean, we've obviously touched on that major thought, you know, that major thought of the pandemic that's been taking up so much time and energy and, you know, but there's a lot of other things going on in the world that are troubling to people. How can they bring this idea of, you could call it the true normal, couldn't you? We're not talking about an old normal or a new normal, but the true normal, the one that is beyond the shift of time and beyond the shift of personalities and things that might change. How do we bring that to bear on just those things that we're hearing about in the news, whether it's in our own country or in other parts of the world?
Well, I think one thing that we can do is to make a commitment, make an effort to be a thought leader more than a thought follower. You know, I go back to that first definition of norm, something that we've grown accustomed to, something that's usual or typical. And a lot of times it happens because we sort of follow something without really thinking about it. Or we follow something because it's the best course that we can see because we haven't thought of a better way forward. But a good friend of mine used to work with teenagers a lot, and they had a lot of conversations about peer pressure. And he would always say to them, be the peer. You be the peer.
Uh-huh.
you be the one who leads the way and have the courage to do that. There's a passage in Romans chapter 12, and I love the J.B. Phillips translation of this. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within.
Mm.
And I think that's a great way to start the year, is to just make a commitment that, you know, we're going to ask ourselves what it is we're going along with.
Mm.
And are these thoughts that I ought to be accepting as normal? Or is there something that I could be doing to help lead the way or open the way through prayer or through my actions to a better sense of normal as being, you know, health is normal, good is normal, harmony is normal?
Yeah, and are my thoughts and actions promoting that, or are they adding to the discord?
Yeah.
You know, I think Jesus gave us such a wonderful, you know, measure in loving God, you know, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I often find that it's helpful to test out the thoughts I'm going along with to know if, you know, they really honor God as a God of all his children, and whether they really honor that love for all our neighbors. Because that's something that I think certainly Mary Baker Eddy brings out in her writings over and over again, that she was always working and praying for all humankind, not just a portion of it, not just one segment or another segment, or most of them, but not this segment. It's the whole of humanity we're bringing into our thoughts and prayers, you know, with the idea that it will transform and heal in a way that blesses everyone.
And I think that's the great thing about working to discipline our thought, to bring our thought as closely as we can in accord with our understanding of God, of God as principle, God as love, because if we're just thinking about ourselves, that's not a very loving thought. And any time we can, you know, move thought, I think Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health, whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. And so our actions have the power to help shift to some degree the collective thinking about what's normal when our own prayers and our own actions are in accord with our highest sense of what the true standard, the true norm is there. And a genuine norm, something that's genuinely spiritually normal, would have to reflect the nature of God. I was thinking about, there was a Record of Truth podcast back in 2016.
Uh-huh.
And Diane Maripodi talked about an experience she had once when her husband was traveling, and he was in a city where the news reports were that there were bombings and terrorist attacks, and they grew to such an intensity that she wasn't able to have communication with him. And she said that it was very tempting, you know, to feel a lot of concern about his safety because, you know, she couldn't talk to him. And she said, she said, it was tempting to stay at the point of fear, to concede to the concern, I don't know where he is, I don't know what happened, I don't know if he's all right. That would have been humanly reasonable, but I knew it wasn't divinely natural.
Hmm.
What was divinely natural was the fact that God lovingly governs all and upholds every aspect of his creation. And I've thought about that so many times. There's so many thoughts that come to us that seem humanly reasonable.
Yeah, right.
We would all feel, it was very reasonable of her to feel concern about her husband, but she took it higher than that. She said, I don't want to just do what's humanly reasonable. I want to pray in a way, and I want to think in a way that's divinely natural, that recognizes the nature of God and the power of God's presence and of his care for my husband right there where he is. And to be able to accept that, even before she was getting a report from him that he was experiencing that, I just thought that was a very, very powerful and very spiritually courageous step to take.
And it's so liberating as well. That's the thing that might be hard for some people to understand. It's just, it's not in any way burying your head in the sand. It's because, I mean, you know, the individual you're describing and her husband clearly had experiences, many experiences from trusting in this underlying truth of the goodness of God and the fact that that is the true report of what's going on in all the circumstances we find ourselves in. And presumably the story bore that out in the end.
It did. And to be able to maintain a sense of trust in the things that are not seen, to look on the things that are not seen instead of on the things that are seen, and to find there a sense of security brings such a sense of peace. It was so much better for her and for her family to have spent those few days when they couldn't hear from him, feeling a sense of peace and confidence. And, you know, you don't always get that from the reports that you get from the world, but you can get that from the reports that you get from God as Spirit. How do you do that? I mean, how do you get a report from God as Spirit? Well, one thing you do is you go to the Bible and the sacred writings and see how God communicates to us through this inspired word. I consider Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, you know, another very sacred and inspired writing. And so when I go there and I'm reading about the nature of God and the nature of what's actually real and true, I find that comforting. I find that that helps to remove my fears. And it brings me a sense of peace that I don't necessarily get from the human report. But I also find, as she did, that it wasn't, as you said, just putting your head in the sand. His experience was that he was kept safe. And so eventually that human report came into line with the spiritual report. But to be able to hold on to that spiritual report, I think, is a very powerful healing prayer.
Yes, and it's actually, I can't think of a better time to remember that and think about that and digest that than the beginning of a new year. Just not that we can't do this in mid-June or mid-July or whenever we need to do it. We absolutely can. We can do it any time of any day. But it's just, you know, we're talking together as an audience here about a new year. Let's embrace this commitment to digging deep and just listening for the reports from God alongside the news, alongside the discussions, or sometimes instead of them helps, you know, sometimes just switching off the noise coming in, no matter how well intended it is, can be just the right thing to do, to really hear what God is saying about what is happening, and to know that that hearing is a power and it makes a difference.
And we love to have a fresh start. I mean, a new year is a fresh start. We kind of wipe the slate clean and say, all right, I so long to be a presence and a force for good in the world. I so long to bring some good into this world, to my family, to my community, to those that I don't even know in far-flung corners of the world. And I have a fresh start to think new thoughts, to let go of any imposed sense of normal that hasn't felt like a good fit to me. You know, I may have seen this new sense of normal going on around me, and I may have needed to conform in some way to certain requirements, but I really would just so love to let my sense of normal be grounded on what I understand of God as principle, that good is normal, that God is communicating to each one of us how very normal good and health and harmony is, and that everyone can feel this and awaken to this and let it lead and guide and direct our thoughts and actions in ways that are in line with unself-love and that will bring healing wherever we go.
Well, Linda, thank you. That's actually a wonderful way to just draw this to a close, I think. Really appreciate you sharing what you've shared today. Thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Linda Kohler, a Christian Science nurse from San Leandro, California. And you've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. My name's Tony Lobel, and I've been really grateful to have you listening to the program today.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.